Hey, this is Pastor Roy Barrett from Discover Life Church. Thank you for joining today's podcast. Now let's get ready to be transformed, have our hearts encouraged, and live the life God has created us to live. Enjoy today's teaching. Line, and thank you for those of you who are going to be listening to this by the DLC podcast. We love you to life. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to minister to you. All right. Let's get ready to get in the Word of God. Grab your Bibles. Let's go to Hebrews chapter number 6. Hebrews chapter number 6. And then I want you to keep your Bibles open because we're also going to go to Hebrews chapter number 11. So first, though, let's go to Hebrews chapter number 6. And we want to look at verse number 12. Hebrews 6, 12. I feel like I probably need to bring us, just reiterate and remind us of where we are as a ministry and where we are as probably individual believers in our walk before the Lord. So Hebrews chapter number 6, and we're going to look at verse number 12, and I got to make sure I got to change translations on my phone. So I'm going to go to the NIV version. Hebrews 6, and now let's go to verse number 12, if you don't mind. Verse number 12. One verse out of the 6th chapter, verse number 12. Here's what it says. We do not want you to become lazy. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. Now, go with me to chapter number 11. Chapter number 11, Hebrews chapter number 11. And we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 6. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the angels were commended for. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken away, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly, or some translations, diligently seek him. Father, thank you for the spirit of wisdom and revelation. In Jesus' name, amen. We, last week, shared with you guys how we're in this journey of faith in this season of our lives and of this ministry. And as instructed by the Lord through a prophetic word given to me, the Lord says, for me to instruct and teach those within the sphere of DLC faith. And so we have set aside some time, probably for a couple of months, and we're just going to hone in on faith. Because if the Lord has instructed, and if the Lord has commanded, and if the Lord has directed us to teach on faith, then woe be it unto us to try to find something else to teach on, because that means our blessings and our breakthrough is going to be found in our obeying in the direction that the Lord is leading. So we're going to teach on faith. And this first segment, or this first series of teaching that we're going to focus on, is understanding our faith. Understanding faith. Way before we get into anything of what we would call the heavy part or the deep parts of faith, we want to make sure each of us have the same or a similar framework and foundation of understanding faith. And so today we're going to pick up again with just understanding faith. Now, last week was more of an introduction to understanding faith. Today I'm going to just take us a little bit deeper, because it all ties into this truth and reality. Everything God has promised and purposed for you and I is outside the realm of our control and comprehension. And since it's outside the realm of our control and comprehension, then that means it has to be by faith. You and I engage with and experience God on the realm outside of our natural senses, where you and I have no dependability or reliability on our ability, on our ingenuity or creativity and we fully rest and fully live off the confidence of who God is and what God has promised. And so when it comes to this understanding of faith, then you and I must embrace and we must accept that if I'm going to understand faith, then what's very significant to my understanding of faith that translates to my utilizing of my faith is the fact then that God has to give me a template, God has to give me a blueprint, God has to give me some type of examples to follow when it comes to understanding and utilizing faith. And that's what's the focus today. We're talking about understanding faith, but I'm going to switch it up. If you're taking notes, I just want you somewhere to write model behavior. Model behavior. Now, don't let the word behavior lock you in just into doing, because remember, faith is an attitude and an action. Faith is an attitude and action. So when we get to Hebrews chapter number 11, it's oftentimes when we preach it and teach it, it is called the Hall of Faith. The Hall of Faith. Because it's a list of individuals at various seasons and chapters in the Bible who have exemplified a life of confidence, obedience, perseverance, trust in God that stands out way beyond and way above those who are in their same generation or those in their spheres of influence. It's called the Hall of Faith. And if you're familiar with sports, yes, it's a playoff, the Hall of Fame. In sports, whether it's hockey, basketball, football, or baseball, each major genre of sports have what is called the Hall of Fame. And it's a place, it's a location where individuals who played at the highest level of their field of sports is, how can we say, they call them enshrined or encased, but they are literally publicized as being examples on how to play the game at the highest level. They are marked, they're signified, they're identified as being those who represent the highest level of accomplishment and achievement in their sphere of influence. They tell us, this is the blueprint. This is my life. This is how I played the game. And if you want to excel and be the best, then you can follow my example on how I played the game, whether it's baseball, football, basketball, hockey, whatever it may be. And the reason I highlight that is because our life and our journey towards fulfilling our greatest potential is always easier when we have an example, when we have a model, when we have a blueprint, when we have a pattern, when we have a guide, when we have something or someone to show us how to do it. And many people are frustrated in their faith in this season of life, in this season of ministry. Many people are frustrated in their faith in relation to the parenting, believing God for their personal lives, believing God for their business, believing God for a house, believing God for a home, believing God for a healing. Many people are frustrated and they think their faith is failing or their faith is futile because they don't recognize God never designed you to try to figure out the faith walk based upon your own self-interpretation or your self-conclusion. He's giving us models to follow. And the world even understands that models help create an appetite for believability and doability. What are you talking about, Pastor Roy? Way before there is mass production of something, way before the public often even hears about something, in some form or fashion, you and I will always see, hear, or read about a model car, a model home, a model design. Why? Because corporate America understands we show the model first. We show the prototype first to create an appetite for the general population can know, look what's coming, look what's possible. So they wet your whistle and they wet our whistle by giving us little teasers and trailers to show us, man, this is, man, that was possible. That's doable. You go into a subdivision. It's not even fully built out, but they want to take you into the model home to give you an idea of what you can purchase, the model car, what you can have. And even people just call models, show us this is how you can look in this outfit. My whole point is this right here, that you and I are on this understanding faith journey. And God says, I don't want you to struggle unnecessarily. So I have given you some examples. Look in Hebrews 6:12. We do not want you to become lazy, but to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. We don't want you to become lazy, because oftentimes what makes us lazy in God is the fact that we start feeling like we're the only one. Lazy is translated to mean sluggish, to mean dull. And when we're dull, we simply mean we're not on our spiritual, we're not spiritually sensitive like we should be. So we miss opportunities, we miss windows, we miss doors, we miss seasons where God is answering prayers and fulfilling prophecies. And so God says, we don't want you to become dull. I become dull because I'm trying to figure it out on my own. And God says, don't become dull, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what has been promised. And I looked at this verse again this morning before I came to you guys, and what stood out to me is this: the level of manifested blessings and breakthroughs in my life is a direct reflection of those who I imitate the most. I'm gonna say it again. The level of manifested blessings and breakthroughs in my life is a direct reflection of those who I imitate the most. Because God says, imitate those who receive the promise through faith and patience. So if there's some things that's not being manifested in my life, then the question I need to ask myself, who am I imitating? Who am I following? It sounds arrogant. It sounds prideful. It sounds, you know, just almost ungodly. When you and I talk about how can I have more peace in my life, and we love to quote Philippians 4, where Paul talks about how the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, you know, keep your mind on things whatsoever pure, lovely, and good report. But do you know, in that same chapter, Paul says this right here. He says, the things that you have heard from me, the things that you have seen in me, put into practice and you will have peace. That is a mouthful, because sometimes I can be so stressed, I can be so anxious, I can be so fearful that I can't even set my mind on things that are pure, good report, and lovely. But I can get a level of peace by just looking at the model. Who is in your life that's really modeling faith, that's really modeling it out for you, so that you can have peace, so you can have rest? And you've heard me say before that you got to have faith friends. And what grips my heart when I pray for people is that sometimes we have more fake friends than faith friends. And what I mean by fake is this: I'm not talking about fake in the context of the relationship as a whole. That's a different story. I'm talking about fake in the context of, it's not real faith. It's not biblical faith. It's not authentic faith. It is Christian ease. And it's not that God is backing or endorsing. It is just religion jargon. And we're falling for it out of our own insecurities, out of our own impatience, out of our own lack of understanding. And we're thinking that, man, they were successful. But you know, there's not a real consecration before the Lord. There's not a real commitment to the Lord. There's not real submission to the Lord. There's not a real engaging with the promises of God in the presence of God. And then we think blessings and breakthroughs came from God. And because we're sluggish, we can't discern that the devil is really setting them up for a downfall. I'm not preaching doom and gloom. I'm talking to you and I to make sure that we are, those of you in our sphere of influence of Discover Life Church, and then those in your sphere of influence as a carrier of God's glory and as a carrier of God's presence, those that you are reaching in your sphere of influence, that you are so sharp that you can see real faith from fake faith, and like we said last week, from foolishness. So God gives us models. He gives us illustrations and demonstrations of people that you and I can follow, so that we can have the fruit of God's promises manifested in every area of our lives. Watch this. Our response to trouble and trials reveal what model we're building our lives after and around fear of faith. Our response to trouble and trials reveals what models we're building our lives after fear of faith. The most dominant, consistent model in your life, whether it's a parent, whether it's a pastor, whether it's a teacher, whether it's a friend, whether it's a business person, whoever it is, your most dominant model is modeling out for you and for me fear of faith. And in times of trouble, in times of calamity, in times of insecurity, in times of uncertainty, I behave according and I imitate and emulate the model that I got my eyes on the most. And I'm grateful. You've heard me say it before. I'm so grateful, especially when I gave my life to God, that the people who are in my life were models of faith. A pastor, Alfred Jackson, who's now in St. Simon's Island with World Harvest Fishers of Men in a Baptist church. He came and modeled faith in God, believing for the supernatural, just believing that all things are possible, working with, because he has the gift of faith. You know, he was always challenging me and challenging the leaders, you know, believe God for a hard thing. So working closely with him, seeing God use him to lay hands on the sick and be healed instantly, answering prayers. And then I had, you know, a pastor, Joanne McLaughlin in St. Augustine, who modeled faith, a woman of just tenacious faith, just a vibrant faith, a strong faith, a Hope and Deliverance church. She's pastoring Hope and Deliverance in St. Augustine, believing God, learning from her just how to stand on God's word and nothing else, the unadulterated word of God. And then when we came to Atlanta, you know, just fought some of the ministry men of God that God surrounded me with during that time. And then even learning from PK herself in the purest form of what it means to just simply love God and love his word. And of course, where would we be, PK and I, as leaders without, you know, a Bishop Joseph Garlington, a Pastor Barbara Garlington, who have stretched our faith to levels that we didn't even know was inside of us, and Apostle Bill and a Pastor Deanne Johnson from New Covenant, who has shown us how faith and wisdom are not mutually exclusive. And so our faith has been refined, developed, and polished because they have come alongside of us to show us how faith and wisdom go together. And our faith is more potent, it is more effective because of wisdom being applied with it. And so that is what I want to release over your life even now, this understanding of faith, so that you and I can see our faith produce everything God has purpose and promise in what you're praying for. Watch this, listen to me this. So God gives us these models. Why does God give me this model? Because it's natural to fear, but it's spiritual to walk by faith. It is natural to fear, it is spiritual to walk by faith. So he gives us these faith models, model behavior, so that we can walk in that level of alignment with him that's going to yield the results that only God can produce, not us. So let me give you, I'm under the guise of understanding what faith is and understanding how faith looks, I'm just going to give you four divine truths, and then we're going to pick it up next week. I want to take my time, walk through this, and I'm asking you to stay with me on this journey, because like I said, for some of us, our faith has been waning and it has been weakened over the pandemic and whatever it has happened during these last 2 years. For some of us, our faith is straining, and God is going to strengthen your faith. For some of you, your faith is just totally, it's not absent, it is just simply in dormancy, and God is going to awaken your faith. And then for some of us, your faith is good, but you know what God's going to do? He's going to stretch you. But we're all going to start with just understanding faith. So here we go. I must understand that faith is number one, and we're going to look at the model behaviors. Number one, I must understand that faith is sticking with God when I want to stop. Sticking with God when I want to stop. And I'm just going to tell you who we're looking at as a model. This is from the ancients. In Hebrews 11, verse number 2, he tells us that the ancients were commended for. Now, when you read Hebrews 11, 1, it says faith is a substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. And this is what the ancients were commended for. They're commended for their faith. And these are the same ancients that we spoke of and started with in Hebrews 6. Imitate those who through faith and patience inherit what is promised. So God tells us right then and there that faith, our faith in God, is defined and described more by words like endurance, patience, and persistence. This is what the ancients were commended for, and this is why we're commanded to emulate them. You don't need persistence. You don't need endurance And you don't need patience if there wasn't a waiting process. So faith isn't always immediately going to spring the results. Faith doesn't instantly always bring about the transformation. You don't need I need persistence. I need patience. I need endurance, because it's not called a Christian sprint. It's called a Christian walk. And in walking with God, there are times I want to stop. I get tired. I get frustrated. I want to rest. I want a break. Conditions can wear me down. Comparison sets in, and then I start feeling like, God, I'm getting the wrong end of the stick. And there are many reasons I want to stop. But faith is sticking with God when I want to stop. Hear me. My faith isn't measured by how much I keep getting from God, but how I keep going in God. I'm going to say it again. My faith isn't measured by how much I keep getting from God, but how much I keep going in God. Sadly, unwisely, unbiblically, many people understand faith only in the context of stuff, what I get from God. So they start thinking and evaluating their faith by, okay, I prayed and God hadn't done this. I asked God, he hadn't done this. I have a prophecy and it hadn't come to fulfill. And I did this and God hadn't done that. And then they I'm just going to stop. I'm going to quit. And that's the challenge. The challenge is to recognize faith is sticking with God, staying with God, walking in truth, walking in alignment with God in the face of unanswered prayers, loss, grief, heartache, misunderstanding, questions, contradictions, success, victory, and breakthrough. Because sometimes those things, we can look at just sticking with God in the face of pain and hurt. But sometimes some people stop when they get what they want from God. And the tragedy that PK and I have seen time and time again is that someone has been believing God for a mate, believing God to get married. And then when God sends that person, then all of a sudden their enthusiasm in God goes down. Their excitement for God goes down. Now they get a little bit slower in their participation in ministry. Now they don't come to church as much, because why? They've really stopped. So sometimes it's what God gives us turns around and no longer becomes a blessing, but becomes a barrier. But you and I got to understand, faith is sticking with God when I want to stop. Because you and I understand that we stick with God first and foremost because of who he is, not what he does. We stick with God because of who he is. Because if I'm going to stop walking with God, who are you going to walk with that's better? Who are you going to commit to that's going to do for you what God can't do? And the model God gives us through the ancients is that you and I must recognize that faith is sticking with God when I want to stop. It is sticking and staying with God. With tears, with hurt, I'm going to stay with God. With frustration, I'm going to stay with God. With success, I'm going to stay closer. I would venture to say that when God is blessing you the most, that is the time to stick and stay with him the closest. Because you know on the other side of a blessing and a breakthrough, the enemy is going to try to attack you. So when God is blessing the most, that's the time to stick and stay the closest to God. Faith is sticking with God when I want to stop. We need patience, endurance, and persistence, because there are going to be times you want to stop. There is an interesting quote, Kenneth Braswell, Fathers Incorporated, who is all things Muhammad Ali, and his quotes, would have to make sure I say it correctly. But Muhammad Ali in his prime was asked something like how many times, you know, like either how many push-ups or sit-ups or something like, you know, he'd do when he go to the gym. And he said, I don't start counting until it starts hurting. In other words, I get no credit until I get past the point that I want to stop. Because faith kicks in when I know my flesh is exhausted. Faith doesn't kick in until I know I have nothing to give but my faith. Because sometimes we want to stop when we're still in our own strength. We want to stop when we haven't exhausted ourselves. This is why God calls us so much to crucify our flesh. So we want to stop when we still have our own strength. And sometimes God says, I can't do it until I know you won't be able to get the credit, the glory at all. That's why Lazarus, I have to wait until you are completely dead so that no one will be able to say, well, he wasn't dead. He was only, you know, in a coma. Some things God is not going to release and produce until we have to stick with him by faith and not by flesh, not by formula, but by the total dependence on the fact that I'm out of ideas, I'm exhausted. Your exhaustion is not an excuse to stop walking with God. Your exhaustion is an indicator that now your faith, it can kick in. All right, so let me give you number two. I hope I'm making sense to you guys. So you got to give me some emojis. You got to let me know you're getting this. Here's number two. And we're going to learn this from God. Faith is speaking what God says when I don't see it. Faith is speaking what God says when I don't see it. God himself makes himself a model for us in Genesis 1 when he says that, you know, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God said, let there be light. There was light. And God said, let there. And God said, let there be. And it was. And God said, let there be. And it was. And it was good. And it was the first day, second day, third day, fourth day. And so the whole point is this. God created the heavens and earth. God created the world by speaking his word. He created the world based upon his purpose and potential for the world, based upon the word. And he is the word. He spoke it into existence. Now, I want you to get this. We must keep saying what God says until we see what God has said. We must keep speaking what God says until we see what God has said. Now, I want to be very clear. God spoke the world into existence. This is not a license, and this is not the false teaching that somehow has crept into the body of Christ where we can just simply speak and say scriptures and we think it's automatically going to happen. Because you and I are flawed, because you and I are imperfect, because you and I are still being changed, God doesn't need redemption. We do. God doesn't need salvation. We do. So God spoke from the gross volume of who he is, pure light and life. So all that he is, light and life, that's all that came out, light and life. But for you and I, we're still being changed. So I don't want you to think I'm talking about manipulating God. What God is showing us is that your heart and your mouth, when understanding faith, comes together. Understanding faith means my heart and my mouth has to be in agreement. I have to be so full of the word, that's a conviction, that is the only thing that comes out of my mouth, that's confession. So my conviction of faith and my confession of faith has to be together. You will never understand faith and see faith maximized that if I'm going to read God's word, but I'm only going to speak whatever I want to say. No, you and I got to be so full of God's word, his promises and truth, till that's all that comes out is nothing but his word in the face of trouble, in the face of getting laid off, in the face of the doctor's report saying that we're sick. We're so full of his word, we're still saying, but by his stripes I'm healed. We're so full of the word that we're like Job, though he slay me, yet shall I trust in it. We keep saying his word until we see what he said, but God promised. So again, so we're looking for a building, believing God for a building. We're doing all the things we know to do. And so I have to be, as a shepherd, so full of God's word that when I see and hear and engage with all my friends who are going back to their churches, that when times of comparison set in, I have to be so full of the word that I have to remind myself and say out loud, you know, God, you said that you have a building for us. And so I thank you that the boundary lines have fallen for us in pleasant places and that this is just a journey. This is just a season that we're passing through. Let me tell you where many of us give the devil the ability to defeat and discourage us. We won't say what God says. We'll say what our situation says. We'll say what we feel. And we'll say what circumstances look like. But we won't say what God says. And that means we got to get the word inside of us. You cannot keep speaking death and expect to see the life of God prevail. Anything that God hadn't said is death. Anything that God hadn't said is a curse. Anything that God hadn't said will never produce what God has actually said. But it starts not with my mouth, it starts with my heart being full of God's promises. You can't fill yourself up, and please don't get upset with me, but I'm in talking about faith and being full of faith. You cannot allow your heart to be full of reality shows, news reports, and then try to speak full of faith to your mountain, to your giant, and to your circumstances. Because what you feed yourself the most, what we fill up on the most, is what we're going to speak the most. So how much are you feeding and filling up on the promises of God? You got me? So faith is speaking what God says when we don't see it. God could have spoke the world into existence with one word, but he did it over the course of 6 days. Why? To show us, keep saying it. Keep saying it and you'll see it. Keep saying it until you see it. Keep saying it until you feel like you don't want to say it anymore. You keep saying it. You keep saying it. You have to keep saying that over your kids. You will be who God has called you to be. I will not leave you on the side of 400. You will be who God has called you to be. I won't leave you at the daycare. You will be who God, I'm just joking. You have to say it over your marriage. You keep saying it. You will be, and you are a mighty man of God. Because why? If I keep saying what God has said, then I will see what God has said. Number three is able. Able teaches us that faith is this: giving to God when I don't feel like I got it to give. Giving to God when I don't feel like I got it to give. Because the key word in Hebrews, when it talks about Abel giving a better sacrifice or better offering than Cain, the key word is better, because it translates higher value. Well, what's the higher value? How does God measure value? Faith. What's the difference between the two? Cain gave from the ground. What he offered God was produce. It was from the ground. And that was symbolic of he gave on a natural level, on just a level of understanding based upon his flesh. Abel gave livestock and cattle. He gave meat. He gave a sacrifice. So he gave based upon that which is spiritual. And when you and I give based upon spiritual, which is faith, then God is pleased with our lives. And that's the highest value. Now, let's take this deeper. If I only give when I feel that I can give, then I'm feeling my fear more than my faith. I hope you are getting this. So please put some emojis, give me some hand signs, let me know you're getting this. If I only give when I feel that I can give, then I'm feeling my fear more than my faith. See, tithing and offering is not really about the amount. It's about the attitude of our heart towards faith. Do I give and do I tithe as if I am my provider, I am my source, or do I tithe and give as if God is my source and God is my provider? And so that becomes a challenge, that faith is giving to God when I don't feel like I got it to give. And when it comes to tithing, comes especially to tithing, 10% of any and all of our income. We've taught our kids when they've gotten part-time jobs, we've told them that in practicing financial stewardship, you're going to save at least 10% and you're going to tithe 10%. And so I never forget one conversation we had with them was that when they were just like, okay, PK was going over their checks and showing them, you know, the taxes and different things, explaining that. And she's like, this is the gross and this is the net. You're going to tithe off the gross. And they were asked, well, that's not how much money I got. Look, I only made this much. She's like, where my money? Where the rest of it? I need tithe. This is how much. And she was explaining to them. Now, I don't want anyone to get condemnation listening to me right now. It's not about condemnation. It's about the fact that you and I are asking and believing God to do certain things, and we're trying to find a bypass to the blessing. And God is saying, there is no bypass. You're going to have to walk the walk of faith. And when it comes to those tithing and offering, 10% of any and all of my income, that's a tithe, as an expression of worship, faith, and expectation in God. So do I tithe and give based upon my feelings and my fear or my faith in God? We've been stretched and challenged in this, PK and I. And one of the things I tell single brothers, you know, when you say you want to marry a godly woman, a real one, it can be challenging. Because PK, she'll be like, look, I just feel like the Lord wants us to give a little bit more. I want God. I feel like God wants to bless. She would take the checkbook and she looks at, because oftentimes I do our tithes and offering, and she was like, feel like we need to just give a little bit more. And I'm like, I already wrote the check for tithes and offering. She said, we'll write another check where I can just do it online. I just feel like we need to do more. We, at the end of a year, we look at our giving statement and our contribution statements. By the way, thank you guys for being just exceptional and consistent givers to DLC. And so we'll look at it at the end of a year and look at the year before and make sure we're always modeling out faith in terms of giving. Is it going up? Was it the same? Why was it the same? Did we not make as much money? We ask ourselves those questions. Why? Because we want to give God a better sacrifice and a better offering. And better is expressing faith through tithes and through offering. That's why the old folks used to always make that in the old Baptist church. You can't be God giving no matter how hard you try. Faith is giving to God when I don't feel like I got it to give. There's the saying that you can't afford not to tithe. That's why it's a faith thing. It's a faith thing. Tithing is a faith issue. It is a trust and confidence. Because again, if we sat down, you would tell me all your necessities in life. It's important that I have a phone. It's important that I have gas in the car. It's important that I have, you know, a roof over my head and food. It's important. And then when we get through with all of those things and we start looking at some of the other things that you have and that I have, then we start looking at, that's where your tithe is going. Because it's a faith issue. Because now you start getting into some of those things like, you know, eating out and how often do we shop? How often do we get our hair done? You know, how often do we travel? And then we get upset with God because we start saying like, well, God ain't moving. God ain't answering prayers. And God says, you feel your fear more than you feel your faith. And giving to God when I don't feel like I got it to give is an expression of faith. Here's the last one about Enoch. Pleasing God when everybody wants, well, pleasing God first when everybody wants you to please them. From Enoch, pleasing God first when everybody wants you to please them. Enoch was defined on, you can just say, he doesn't have a tombstone because God just snatched him. The old Baptist preacher said that Enoch and God was just walking one day to the point that Enoch looked up and he had walked from earth to heaven because he doesn't die. He was just translated. He just left. But his life is summarized by these words, one who pleased God. And then the sixth verse says, the only way to please God is by faith. Now, what that tells us is that Enoch lived a life of faith, but in a relational context, it means that he did not have a fear of people, that he did not have an unhealthy and ungodly need for people's affection and love to the point that it pulled him away from a life of total confidence in God and a life of total obedience in God. Watch this. Understanding faith is a focus on God pleasing and not people pleasing. Understanding faith is a focus on God pleasing and not people pleasing. Now, I am not saying that this means I got to be disrespectful and distrustful of people. No, what you and I are talking about is that we're so strong in our walk with God that we don't allow people's preferences or pressures to pull us from the place of living by true faith in God. Because if people can pull you away from confidence in God, then they're not loving us like God tells us to love us. Because true friends should push us into greater obedience to God's call, to greater dependence on God's call, to a greater reliance on God's call, to a greater confidence. When you talk, if you're single and you have someone that you like or are interested in, male, you got a guy, you got interest in this young lady, and she's telling you that you, it doesn't take all of that in your service to God, that is a flag. Young lady, if you're interested in a guy and he's telling you it don't take all of that, that is a flag. If they are pressuring you to have sex before marriage, that is a flag. If they can't have a spiritual conversation, they can't tell you what God is saying, what God is doing, they can't share with you the last thing that in their life they can point to was a fulfillment of God's prayer, a fulfillment of God's promise or a prophetic word, that is a flag. You want to know why? Because you are now encountering someone that if you yoke up with them, you're going to have times where you're going to have a choice. Do I please God or please them? And who wants to be married to someone who's going to keep you in a quandrum where you have to always choose, do I want to please God or do I want to please my spouse? Why would you want to spend your, I feel like I'm talking to somebody. Why do you want to spend your life always debating if you can obey God and that person still love you? If that person is going to stay in the marriage, if that person is going to be there. And I'm telling you, understanding faith means I please God first when everybody else wants me to please them. Not that I'm disrespectful, not that you have to be distrustful of people, but you got to be strong enough to recognize that people will press us by their preferences, and their preferences oftentimes is not rooted in you and I being completely devoted to trusting God and walking out His promises. So if I'm going to understand faith, then I got to recognize that I got to go beyond and get over what people say about me and how they feel about me. And this is why sometimes with social media, I don't respond to all the things that I really want to respond to. And that's always the Holy Spirit. That's God. That's just God. Because when I see people post and say things, especially, you know, that deals with how I just got to follow God and trust God. And it's like, okay, but how are you walking with God with that person and yet they're telling you it don't take all of that? Now they're God sent, but yet they don't want to live by the Bible. That's a contradiction. Please God first. If you're single, listen to me, a great indicator of someone potentially qualifying to be your spouse is the fact that they celebrate and they encourage you pleasing God first. Watch this, even at the expense of losing them. Boy, it's quiet right there. That is quiet. Even at the expense. Because why? Because that shows that they really do love. Because if they're willing to risk losing you to God, then that's a good indicator. Now, the flip side of that is, if you're going for God, you want them to be going for God with you and not be stagnant themselves in faith. And so, pleasing God first, and that's faith, because why? It means we're living for God's applause, God's approval, and God's affirmation way above what people think or feel about us. Here's your big so what. God expects me to model a life of faith, because a life of faith is the only model that married. That only model that I said married. Lord have mercy. I must be need a relational talk, relational time. God expects me to model a life of faith because a life of faith is the only model that matters. And so to take on challenge, this week I want you to read Hebrews 11 two times, but I want you to read it in the Amplified version. So you may have to go to BibleGateway.com. and read it there and find the Amplified translation. You can go online and easily find it, but just read it in the Amplified translation at least twice this week. I want you to memorize Hebrews 6:12, and then of course pray these points over your life, and then then I want you to share this message immediately at the end of the broadcast. But before we go, we want to make sure if someone is watching, how do you understand faith? It starts with this. If you've been living your life where you've really been doing it to please you, your first expression of faith is to say, God, I recognize I wasn't created for my own pleasure, but I was created to please you. And so I'm going to stop on this day living for myself. And by faith, I'm going to start living a life to please you. And that means I believe Jesus died for my sins. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless life. He died on a cross. He was raised physically from the dead. He sits at the right hand of you. And one day he's going to come and get me and spend eternity with him. And I am qualified for your blessings and for your breakthroughs, not because of my righteousness, but in response to who Jesus is and what he did for me. If you have said that prayer in some form or fashion, you mean it in your heart, I want you to type salvation, because that means you'll be on the lookout for that. Love you guys to life. I think that's all I have. Next week, we're going to pick up faith again. We're going to pick up faith again next week, talking about understanding faith, and we're just going to keep going and applying it. And then, watch this, I'm going to be shifting us. So we're not going to just say, we're just getting our feet wet. Because we're going to go from understanding faith, we're going to go into unlocking faith. Because sometimes your faith gets locked up because of pressure and problems. It gets locked. So how do I unlock my faith when it gets stuck? And then we're going to end in a series of teachings entitled Utilizing My Faith. How do I put my faith in operation? First, I got to understand faith. Then I got to unlock faith. Then I can utilize it. So we're on a journey. We are going somewhere. I just need you to stay with me. I need you to stay faithful. Not just in terms of coming online and praying for the ministry. Faithful, full of faith. All right. God, we love you. We bless you. And I speak your blessings over every person, decreeing and declaring that your word is prospering in their lives and they are excelling in everything that you have placed before them. No weapon formed against them shall prosper. They are thriving. This week, we release the blessings of the Lord. I thank you that dreams and desires are being fulfilled and manifested. Thank you for stupid miracles and ridiculous blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, part of your assignment is you got to share this message just as soon as it's over. All right, so get ready to share. Love you guys to life. Bye-bye. Thank you for listening. I pray you enjoyed today's teaching. Let's keep in touch by subscribing to the Discover You podcast. Be blessed.